Okay, welcome back. Hour number two. Lots of things going on out there. And for a long time, and I should say this carefully. How do I say this carefully? Nurse Ann will be on in a little bit, a few minutes, so hang on. We're going to play a portion of a video here. It's very important because for a long time, we have been trying to work on behalf of the vaxxed and the unvaxxed, but most especially the unvaxxed. Because if you figure that 83% of America has been injected with this biological weapon, which is appearing to be more and more like it's if you got a viable shot, a valid shot, a competent shot of a bioweapon, you're gonna have big trouble. And that's an understatement. So we have been pushing for a long time to wake people up to the idea that shedding was clearly built into this weapon to begin with, and that everyone who goes out who is unvaxxed, who hangs around the vaxxed, is at grave risk. And that risk seems to be becoming more apparent all the time. And it is a deadly risk. And we have an example of that for you in just a couple minutes. Erica, are you there?
I'm here, Jeff. Good evening.
Is it? All right. Well, we looked at this video. It's very important. The idea of shedding is being still rejected by some people as being silly. It's not silly. We've been saying for almost 2 years now that at first we were very concerned it was an issue, and then as the data began to roll in confirming that, we doubled down. We've been down on this big time for the better part of 2 years. And now we have more and more evidence. Fortunately, to help us project the truth of shedding, a professional has stepped up with her story. It's about 8 minutes long. It's longer than that, but we're just going to play 8 minutes or so. And I want you to listen very carefully to this woman. She makes her living as a professional massage muscle regeneration therapist, something like that. She works on professional athletes. And she was fine 20 years until her athletes, some of them, began to take the bioweapon injection. And what happened to her? Well, let this be a lesson, an abject lesson from a third party, not Erica or I. We have no axe to grind in this, about what happened to her. This is very important. Anything you want to add real quick?
No, let it roll.
Okay. Here we go. Oh, this is from the SGT report. Okay. Lady's name is Chris.
Sound bites for you, but before I do that, tell us your story.
So I was a medical myotherapist for 18 years. What that is a pro athlete, hands-on, kind of a hybrid massage therapist where I did manual adjustment with the muscle tissue where it integrated into the bone. It basically means just a muscle engineer. There's not very many of us in the country. That's why it's not a common statement that people know what we do. But that being stated, I worked hands-on 60 minutes at a time, 6 to 7 hours a day on athletes, skin-to-skin contact for 18 years. I mean, talking about through tuberculosis, H1N1, people with flus. I mean, nothing really affected me because it's like being around a five-year-old from kindergarten for 6 months. Once you build up those antibodies and immunities, you have herd immunity for yourself. You can be really around anyone. So COVID itself did not really affect me. And fun fact, I happen to be pregnant during COVID. I have a two-year-old. So I worked through pregnancy. I was pain management, so I was able to keep working. And I didn't wear a mask because they're ridiculous. It's stupid. I'm not putting a diaper on my face all day. I'm trying to breathe. Plus the fact I wanted oxygen for my child while I was, raising, caring for them inside my body. And I wound up going on maternity leave in March of 2021. I came back June of 2021, three months later. And some of my athletes had gotten vaccinated at that point. So before that, they hadn't really gotten into the full vaccine profile. I normally would never massage a person that was within 2 weeks of an mRNA vaccine, like a flu shot, because I'm very...
Okay, let me stop it right there real quick. For all of you out there who work as a massage therapist or any similar issue, hands-on, right, chiropractors, anybody in the medical profession who actually does physical therapy work, this is particularly critically important. So her athletes began to get the mRNA COVID bioweapon injection.
Chemically to those problems. I always used to see hand pain and joint pain after I'd work on somebody who'd had a flu vaccine. So it was just part of my protocol, and I considered it a contraindication. I had a patient of mine, we'll call him patient A. I know exactly how I got affected. I worked on this person every other Monday, rain or shine, a hurricane or no hurricane. He was always on my table because he had been on IR and he wanted to maintain his position on the MLB and didn't want to get injured again.
IR is injured reserve list on a Major League Baseball team. That's MLB.
So that's a lot of problems with Tommy John syndrome. You have to maintain it in the elbow. He was there. I worked on him next day, Tuesday morning. My tongue swelled up, cracked, bled, blisters, left side of my spine and my cervical spine up my neck. Horrible headache. I'd never had a spinal migraine in my neck. It always was in my head if I ever had one. The left ring finger, which still doesn't straighten out to this day, bent, could not get it to straighten out. And my left ankle was very painful and my feet were numb. So I did not quite understand what happened. I thought maybe it was some sort of allergy or I'd eaten something. I'm very aware of my body. I maintain a super healthy diet, no gluten, no sugar, no dairy. I take all my vitamins, my herbs. You have to when you work at that capacity and that level. And if you don't rub, you don't eat. That's the way it goes. So you got to be able to be available every day, and illness was expensive. So I always maintained a healthy body. By Thursday, I was better. I ate coconut oil, did my essential oils, everything I knew to do holistically. And I did actually reverse a lot of those symptoms 2 weeks later, worked on the same patient Tuesday morning, woke up, identical issues. Now I'm seeing a pattern. It doesn't take me long to find a pattern. And I'm not the type of person that's just going to sit around and wait. So I did the same protocol, got better. 2 weeks later, worked on the same patient. I was a little concerned that this might be the issue because he was the only one I was working on that had been vaxxed. And I had known that there was shedding that happens because whatever's in somebody's body is in my heart in 126 seconds because of sweat and because of lotion and coconut oil and constant contact for 60 full minutes. I literally would not lift my hand up off of a patient for
126 seconds. It's racing around her body. Whatever's being shed by these people, think of the body as a sponge. That's what she's saying. And it's emitting things. And it's also absorbing things. The skin is rather like that. Exactly. 126 seconds. I'm going to back this up just a teeny bit because I want you to hear that again. This is very important. Okay.
Got identical issues. Now I'm seeing a pattern. Doesn't take me long to find a pattern, and I'm not the type of person that's just going to sit around and wait. So I did the same protocol, got better 2 weeks later, worked on the same patient. I was a little concerned that this might be the issue because he was the only one I was working on that had been vaxxed. And I had known that there was shedding that happens because whatever's in somebody's body is in my heart in 126 seconds because of sweat and because of lotion and coconut oil and constant contact for 60 full minutes. I literally would not lift my hand up off of a patient for a full hour.
Wow.
So that constant contact does shed, period. Does not matter. It does shed. If you have a chemical in your body that's even, I had a patient of mine that was taking drugs for numbness for an elbow, and my hand started going numb after about 35 minutes of working on them. So that stuff does transfer. And if you don't realize that this body's a sponge, the skin is a sponge.
Yeah.
It's not an armor suit. It would be great if it was, but it's not. It pulls in everything. Your pores and your hands and your feet are huge. So I woke up the next morning, of course, same exact issues. My license was due August 2021 to be renewed. And I knew at the end of June that I could not continue my job any longer after 18 years and working really hard to get into that field. It is hard to be an athlete therapist. Let's just be frank. I'm 5'4 and 120. My athletes were 6'8 and 380 all the way down to 6'2 and 200. And to get that kind of clout and to be able to build yourself into that position where people trusted you all over the country and worked for Applied Science Performance Institute, that was my love. It was my career. I was very proud of what I'd gotten to, and I had to let it all go because I didn't trust how many more athletes were going to get sick and what was it going to do to my body. A year later, I was on a plane to Dallas. It was almost exactly a year later. It was end of July, first of August of 2022. I was on a plane from Dallas to Tampa, and I had a heavy, heavy weight. Felt like somebody sat on my back with an elephant, burning in my chest, and my arms went numb and my feet went black. Scared me. I was on the plane with my boyfriend at the time, who's now my fiance. He was in the health industry, and he's like, this is really bad. And I was like, this feels like a female heart attack. Like, this is what they talk about. And I'd never had any problems medically. Didn't make any sense. I mean, this is, I'd already left medical and went to media and was already working in AMP News and already doing that for a long time. So to trace it back is rather difficult. And I think that's what's happening now, is that people are having sudden issues now, but it takes a long time for shedding to actually have results. To think of microscopic nanite size razor blades tearing up your cells. They're very, very tiny, but it, you do it over and over and over again for a year, suddenly you're going to have major issues. I went to a doctor in Arizona who has suppressed technology. It's an ultrasound that can see inside the body and do lasers and scans. She can see the carotid, the popliteal, which is in the back of the kneecap where the femoral artery runs. Because my feet and legs were going numb and they were blue and black, I knew there had to be something wrong with my circulatory system. And sure enough, she found peripheral arterial disease. Normal doctors would call that cardiac arterial disease, or CAD, which they're finding heavily now, which they just came out with. I think it was CBS that said that COVID is causing young people to get CAD. It's not COVID. It's the vaccine. Doing it. And if you already have PAD, which is a comorbidity, you get it from your parents, you don't ever have a problem with it until you do something to your body that makes that be active. So I've had PAD my whole life, never knew, because I eat healthy, exercise, take good care of myself, and drink a ton of water. It's never going to be an issue. My blood went from water through a hose to jello through a straw, and I had massive amounts of blood clots in the back of my right leg, where my doctor was really worried about me being able to actually just fly again without throwing a blood clot. She told me, she says, I'm concerned you're going to wake up. You're not going to wake up.
Oh, my God.
That was August 31st.
Of what year?
Of 2022. This was only a few months ago.
Oh, my God. So you dedicate.
Okay, we're going to stop right there. There's more. And we'll revisit this again in future programs. This is very important. She got nailed. Now, people who work chiropractors, they don't put their hands on a patient for a full hour. We understand that. It's extreme. She had extreme close exposure to a shedding body. But look at the results. She got on an airplane and felt that she was having a heart attack. This is a woman who was severely impacted by the spike and obviously the mRNA. She was transfected. She might as well have gotten an injection. It's probably about the same, close, in terms of the results and the symptoms she was showing. This is a big story. So for all of you who still doubt shedding, you're welcome here. That's great. Listen, make your own decisions. Notice that she did not even mention the aerosolization of spike in mRNA that are constantly being exhaled by the injected. So that's the other side of the coin here to this story, which is bad enough. So that's why I can only speak for Erica and myself. We wear masks when we go out. We don't do it 12 hours a day. We don't do it 8 hours a day. We put them off. We go into a store for a few minutes, 10, 15, 20 minutes, take it off, and you go out. Big deal. You put on lightweight gloves. You don't have to worry about getting direct contamination and absorption through the pores in your hand. You touch something that's covered with spike and or mRNA, and the chances are, and don't forget the LPNs, lipid nanoparticles, LNPs, you're going to get it through your skin, and you may end up with a lot of problems from shingles, herpes zoster, to clots. She mentioned clots. Clots which can cause all kinds of catastrophic results. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I guess the alarming thing is that even in spite of quitting your job and eliminating that route of exposure, what was it, a year later, she's on a plane and, you know, has another episode. Now, was it just being on a packed plane with, you know, probably 80% of the people on that plane are shedding? Or was it that she had issues going on prior to getting on the plane that, that would predispose to having a clot while in flight?
Hard to know. Hard to
know. Or both.
I would think
you know,
both,
she's at a point now where she has developed a condition that requires vigilance and management.
Yep. She's been disabled to a significant degree.
Yeah.
Seriously. Okay, well, let's bring on our special guest, Nurse Ann, who, for you newcomers, is a professional in her field, highly accomplished, well over 30 years, knows exactly what's going on as a registered nurse and more, a psychologist, we could throw that in there for sure, and she's been on it a number of times before to tell us what's really going on in these big city hospitals and probably hospitals coast to coast. They don't have to be big city hospitals. But in her particular case, she works at a 600-bed New York City hospital, and it's shocking. Ann, are you there?
I am. Good evening, Jeff and Erica.
Hello, Ann. Welcome back.
Welcome
How are
back.
You guys doing?
We're okay.
How are you doing?
What are your thoughts about Great. What you just heard?
I'm not surprised in the least. And I do believe that it's happening to people who are unvaxxed. And it's starting to come out more and more. There's a few office nurses who now work in this particular hospital that had got exemptions. And we're starting to now start to exhibit symptoms. Illnesses. So I believe I was actually supposed to come on the show last week, and I was not able to, actually, because I wasn't well enough to come on. So I've had, like, multiple exposure to vaccinated patients. The majority of people coming through our emergency room is vaccinated. All of the last 2 weeks, 100% vaccinations with multiple vaccinations and boosters. So the exposure rate that myself and some of the other nurses have been to the extreme. So I do believe one of the girls was got a bad exposure, and she was out of work for a week. And they say she tested for COVID, so even that she's not been vaccinated. So she was out sick for a week, and she had GI issues, and she had nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, that kind of stuff going on. And initially she thought it was a stomach bug, but then she had fevers thrown on top of that for unexplained reasons. But I myself was out last week because I had my heart was racing. When it was really, really bad, at rest it was 132, and I was able to monitor it because I had all the equipment that I need here, plus you can just palpate your pulse. But for the best part of 4 days, my heart was racing. So I know that there's an extreme exposure right now to the unvaccinated, and it doesn't matter what you try to do, because your fellow co-workers are also, a lot of them are vaccinated as well. So we're working around equipment that we use. We touched everything, computer, keyboards, the same medical equipment. We're all touching it. And so I think it finally did catch up with me. And then so last week was a big eye-opener. I wasn't able to do a lot of what normal functioning, healthy young people should be doing. I wasn't able to do it. And so I slept probably 17, 18 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so fatigued. And I know it was because my heart was racing for those 4 days straight.
That's incredible.
All of a sudden, it stopped. Mm. It stopped as quickly as it started.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you, Anne, when you're at work, now shedding is it's like a double barrel shotgun. You can get shed upon either through breathing, the exhalations of a vaxxed person, or you can touch them. Either way, you're going to get it.
Yeah.
You're going to get it. So do you wear medical latex gloves whenever you touch patients in the hospital? Do they like that?
Yes.
Or do you just use your bare hands still?
I was very, very, I was on it all the time. I would wear the gloves, would wear the mask, and then if there was a question about if they had come up with fevers or if there was a question that they were trying to rule out some sort of infection, I was wearing the gowns as well, the plastic gowns. And, I mean, some of the nurses are like, well, they don't have COVID. Why are you wearing the gown? I go, I don't care. I'm not taking any chances. But somehow along the way, I slipped up because I got exposed because I know I got really run down really quickly. And I ended up getting this, like, at its worst, at rest, it was 132 beats. Mm. So can you imagine what it would have been like if I got up and I tried to do anything?
Mm.
No, here's the other part of that. You don't put your hands on someone for 8 hours a day like this therapist was talking about. You're just around people. So a mask will not give you 100% protection. We all know that. We'll say 20%. We'll take it. That's fine. Whatever it is. You got hit probably by breathing aerosolized droplets containing spike, mRNA, and God knows what else. Most likely that would be the, since you're wearing gloves, that's the main vector. That's your vector.
Yep.
And you're careful. And you're very careful. So,
I'm on the extreme, but I know because why I do it. But I mean, I have nurses saying, why are you wearing that? You don't need to wear that. Patient doesn't have COVID.
Good luck.
I'm like, we don't really know what they have. So,
a lot of Nurse Anne's colleagues are now Filipinos. They're being brought over here, lots and lots of them. Now, the Philippines has a very high vax percentage level, and they also have the world's number one excess death rate in the Philippines. Number one.
We had a Filipino nurse actually leave because she had chest pains.
There
and
you
she's
go.
Not been able to come back.
There
so
you go.
She was falling asleep at work because she was so fatigued. She's taken off the schedule completely. She's so sick now.
Go ahead.
We have a worker now that's completely out because she's so ill.
Okay. What we're trying to get across here, and what we've been trying to do for nearly 2 years now, is to make all of you aware that you, when you're around your vax opposite, there are issues. And shedding is number one for the unvaxxed. I hate to call it vaxxed, but it's convenient. So if you're not vaxxed and you're around the vaxxed, I don't care if it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes, it's obviously cumulative. Okay? You're not going to get a massive dose like this physical therapist woman did, 8 hours a day working on people, hands-on, sponge to sponge. Think about it like that. It works. But it's slower and it builds up. Can your immune system keep up with it and keep you down below your threshold where you'll begin to show symptoms and have problems? I don't know. Everyone's different. It's a real big deal, though, and this is not any longer to be ignored or laughed at or mocked. It's deadly serious. Erica?
Yeah, I mean, we have had cases where people have actually died as a result of shedding.
Dead. Gone. Shedding.
But don't be fooled, because even if you don't have symptoms, it does not mean that there isn't some damage that's being done. And, you know, it appears to be either the blood or the endothelium are both developing where they're being damaged and developing atherosclerosis, very aggressive atherosclerosis, almost as if, I mean, it's been compared to radiation poisoning. I mean, the oxidative stress from the exposure to the spike. The spike is highly inflammatory. It does damage with whatever it comes into contact with, and you may or may not be aware of it, depending on where it's doing its damage. And the first sign might be a blood clot or a heart attack or a stroke. Sometimes it's neurological.
Yeah, I know.
But I think,
usually, usually that's what's happening. You see that a lot at the hospital when they're coming in. They'll beg, I was feeling fine a few last week, and then I was around family members. I had a recent one like that, Erica, where they were around family members. And then for 3 or 4 days, there were all the family members, and then all of a sudden they were sick. And now they, they're coming in with all these symptoms. And we put them on the monitor, and I'm telling you, everybody's heart, they're in an arrhythmia that they never had before. I mean, this is key. This is huge.
Are these the unvaxxed, Ann?
Yeah, these unvaxxed? Are the unvaxxed people.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're unvaxxed, they've been shed upon, and now virtually every one of them shows an arrhythmia, an unusual heart rate, an unusual heart activity. This is not good. Not good.
Yeah. And I had a patient then who came in, and he was a young patient, a healthy, fit young patient, but had come in because he had a past medical history of acute myeloid leukemia. So AML is the abbreviation for it. And it's usually something that would start in the bone marrow, and then eventually it works its way into the blood cells. So he had in 2021, he had a peripheral blood stem cell transplant, and actually was doing very well after that event. And was doing great. You know, he had... He'd had to do some chemo for a while, and then he improved. But he was one of the people that I was just saying where he was just around family members that came from out of town that had been vaccinated, and he's not vaccinated. And I don't remember if you guys remember when I first talked about when this whole thing, with the whole COVID thing started, I was initially telling you guys that the people who were getting radiation and chemo weren't getting COVID, if you remember. Remember when we first started looking at this, when it first came in 2019, 2020? I was saying the people who were actually getting chemo were not actually getting COVID. And
interesting.
So... It was just like, and then of course they turned around and go, oh, well, you had cancer, so now you have to get the vaccine. So they talked to all these poor people who beat cancer and turned around and told them, you got to get the vaccine. And they made them even sicker than they were ever before that.
Like, well, it's never been about health. It's never been about health.
These injections. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is exactly now what's happening to this poor guy. This poor guy actually said, absolutely not, no way, I'm not having anything to do with the vaccine. But then he got exposure another way because he was around family members who came from out of town that were heavily vaccinated.
Okay. The so-called vaccine is a biological weapon. We know that. It's owned by the Department of Defense, Pentagon, and it is deployed to do one thing. Kill people, and it's doing a very good job of it. This is going to be a year of many, many deaths and burials and funeral services and tributes and all the rest of it. And next year probably will be worse. Everyone seems to have a little different pathway to be victimized by shedding, depending upon exposure, depending upon how often, how much, what vector. The physical therapist you heard earlier in the video got nailed by one of her clients, just one, who took the bioweapon injection. And I think there's an enormously important lesson to be learned with that.
I would agree. It'd be interesting to know which vaccine he got. Was it the J&J or was it one of the mRNA?
Hard to know. She went on to say that other of her clients also got the vax. So it's not just that one, although that was her first experience. So
yeah, I don't know. I don't know what her with that. I heard the video too, and it was a very insightful one. And I don't doubt for a second everything that she said is absolutely 100% correct. But what I can speak to is when I still do the audits on the charts of the patients who are coming in who are heavily vaxxed, it's usually still Pfizer or Moderna. I'm not seeing J&J anymore.
No, like, I'm not seeing seems that. Faded.
It seems to have fallen off. And AstraZeneca was never really here. I think they sent a lot of those vaccines to Europe. But they definitely, between the two big ones, are Pfizer and Moderna, are still very, very strong. Mm. They're the ones they pushed in the most.
Yeah.
They're the ones I'm seeing on the patient's charts, for sure.
Now, Ann, Erica monitors her EMT calls in her town, her community, and they've been very busy lately, as you well know, seeing them come in at the ER. Erica, tell us give us a profile of a day's calls. What are common complaints? What are they going out to treat? And I want to see if on the other end, at the ER and ICU, if Ann is seeing the same things there. What kind of a conversion rate is there into going to the hospital and simply making a call for assistance?
There's a lot of trouble breathing, falls. Falls is still very common.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one guy, I guess, fell outside of Walgreens and hit his head. I don't know how he made out. Occasionally, there's a seizure, and when the seizures are typically in younger people, chest pain, abdominal pain is becoming more common now.
Yep.
So I would say, pain, trouble breathing, abdominal pain, occasionally seizures, maybe headaches, stroke-like symptoms. And falls.
Okay. Ann, what are you seeing on the other end here?
100%. That's it. And then what's the reason for the fall? And usually, if you talk to the patients when they come in through the ER, what they're saying is, I don't know, I blacked out, and then somebody found me on the floor.
Mm.
And so we're asking them, well, do you know if you hit your head or not? Because you're worried about a brain bleed or something like that. But it's usually I passed out or blacked out and I was on the floor or somebody witnesses the fall. And then chest pains are through the roof.
Ann, a real quick question. Don't those two link together very well? If somebody passes out, it would suggest a momentary intermittent heart failure?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And like I was talking about the arrhythmias. They can make you pass out here. Your heart's working overtime, you're passing out.
Right.
So it can't take it and you'll just pass out. And so it goes hand in hand. So the chest pain is very prevalent. The falls, very prevalent. The asthma cases are also escalating due to shortness of breath. They probably had a pre-existing diagnosis of COPD or asthma. And then in correlation with those two things, congestive heart failure. That's the other thing. Now, you know what's interesting? I'm not seeing, they're not at least not labeling it as it, I'm not seeing myocarditis or pericarditis. They're not naming those. They're basically looking at CHF as opposed to a myocarditis.
Doesn't mean it's not there. It is said now by some that everyone who's taken a viable injection of this bioweapon does have myo or peri, one or the other, or both, to a degree that may or may not be clinically observable. So,
I would definitely think with the young people that it's Mayo or Perry or both, because they're young athletes or teenagers. Like, we can have teenagers on my unit, and they, if they're coming in and they're complaining of chest pain, the likelihood is that they have a Mayo or they have pericarditis going on.
Right.
So it's there. It's just, they're just not labeling it as such. But they're coming in with, Erica, they're coming in with high BNP levels, which would be a measure of what you do to check for somebody who's in CHF. They're coming in with vitamin D levels in the toilet, even though they say, I'm taking my supplements. Erica, you're not taking enough. They're coming in with vitamin D deficiencies, and then they're coming in with, funny enough, when the blood work is drawn, it's showing like they have an iron deficiency also.
Yeah.
When the blood work is drawn.
What the lady said was very interesting. She said, if you missed it, she said her blood used to be like water through a garden hose, not Jell-O through a straw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what her blood turned into.
And again, it goes along with what I said in a few shows back, and I've kind of reiterated a little bit. The blood is like sludge. Like, we have to draw the blood as nurses. Some hospitals and some units will have phlebotomy to draw their blood, but we draw the blood. So I am drawing their blood. So, I mean, it's still, like, thick. It's sludge. It's dark. It's impossible most of the time to fill the second tube. If you get the first tube, you're lucky. If you get, it's impossible to get the second one. So in the ICUs, in the emergency room sometimes, if they're going to be staying in the ER for a while because they can't make it to a unit, in all the critical care units, they're having physicians come down and put lines in the people. They're either putting PICC lines in, or they're putting central lines in, or lines in their jugular of their neck.
Oh,
and the reason for that is so we can get some access so we can actually treat them, because they're symptomatic. Either they've got extreme high blood pressure, one of the problems, or extreme low blood pressures, where we have no blood volume to work with. And usually that's a really bad situation if you have no blood work to work with, no volume, which means, to me, seems like you have no blood floating around your system, probably because it's all clotted off.
Yeah.
You know, so we're filling them with fluids to try and, you know, get that blood pressure back up, get that blood flowing again. But the blood is extremely thick, and they're using a very invasive line to get access so that we can actually treat them.
This is ghastly.
What?
This is awful to hear. The blood of the vaxxed is invariably sludge-like and black, blackish.
Black. Yeah, it's always dark. Always dark, always black. And very hard to, like, if you're drawing it through a butterfly needle, that would be a fine, small needle. And you'll be very, very lucky if you get that blood to fill two of your tubes. Usually you have to use a bigger gauge needle to get those blood.
Wow. Go ahead, Erica.
So that's fairly consistent with the vaxxed. Are you seeing that to any extent in the unvaxxed?
The unvaxxed, if there's exposures, it can be very difficult too. Like the guy I was telling you about that had been treated for cancer and now had 4 days of exposure from the family who visited him, his blood was very quite thick as well, but not as bad as the vaxxed. Not as bad, but it was still difficult. He had veins. He had really good veins. But he had, it was very difficult to fill all of the tubes we needed. We'll need sometime they call it a rainbow of tubes. If you're a really sick patient, you're drawing like maybe six different tubes. You've got to fill those tubes. It's impossible sometimes.
So this cancer patient. Go ahead.
I just wondered, what was the reason he presented in the ER?
So he came in because he said that he had started to have upper respiratory symptoms, coughing, and then he ended up, it started to become GI symptoms, where he started having GI abdominal upset, mm-hmm. pain, discomfort. They went to started having water, diarrhea. And he was unable to tolerate eating or drinking anything for two to three days, which is too long to go without food and water.
Mm.
So he came in. He was very hypotensive, and of course, uh-huh. it's an emergent situation because you got to treat right.
And this came about after his spending 4 days with relatives. Yes.
4 days with relatives. Yes.
So. It just built and built and built, and it overwhelmed him, and it took him down.
Yeah, he's 24 hours for the 4 days in the same location.
Got it. Same
household.
Breathe. Yeah. Let's just, okay, he's breathing. He's not touching them very often, I wouldn't think. Maybe a hug, hello, a hug, goodbye.
Yeah.
But he's breathing. This is aerosol. This is breath,
yes.
Breathing.
Eating,
wow.
Dining. Yeah.
And I would suggest any of you out there who are in a mixed vax household, be sure to get a really good air purifier, ozone and something else. We have one on the homepage. It's made by Valera. It's the best I've ever seen. It does 3,000 square feet. You'll see it there. There's a banner for it right above headline news. But you've got to clean the air. And those personal units, I saw a couple out today, people wearing them. Not necessarily the same thing, but obviously an ion generator. So that's another thing you can do. But you've got to clean the air. If you're in a house with someone who's your vaxxed opposite, you must clean the air. You have to. Or try to.
Yeah, anyway. That's just common sense. It's easy to do.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah, they're still doing the whole thing, too, where they're putting them on the anticoagulation therapies. When they come into the hospital, they're giving heparin injections. Yeah.
Amyloid clots aren't good. They're going to laugh at that. That's not going to help an amyloid clot much, if at all. None of the anticoagulants.
Yeah. And then we're busy all the time. What's happening now is we're looking at the least acute patient. Can we move them to another unit so we can take an even sicker person out of the emergency room? And here's the deplorable situation. They actually have people coming in, and the ER is so full in all the bay areas and all the sections off that in the hallway they now have positive, what they say is tested positive for COVID patients sitting in chairs. So anyone who comes in is walking through those hallways getting exposed to these people who are supposedly tested positive for COVID.
Oh, God.
So it's a disaster. It's a complete and utter disaster.
Oh,
but there's nowhere to put them. There's just they've been on divert a couple of times. They've diverted a couple of times. But even the other area of hospital there have the same uh-huh. problem.
Is there a feeling in there now, Anne, when you go in there, of, I don't know how to phrase this, is there a feeling of doom? You're seeing all these sick people, many who die. You know they're dying. They're going to die. Might be 3 months, 6 months. They're coming in, mm-hmm. and you look at their chart, injected. How many injections? 3, 4, 5? Is there a feeling of there's not much you can do to help these people except run all the standard tests, give them maybe a little bit of palliative, tentative relief, and that's about it?
And then you send them on their merry way. Yeah. Yeah, and the thing about it is the nurses who haven't gotten the vaccine, for a while there, I was I was just keeping to myself. But I have these nurses, one of them goes on to be a nurse practitioner anyway. I've told her about a number of books and research that I've looked at, and she's just absorbing this information like you can't believe. So she's purchased a number of the books I recommended because to get insight into what's really going on. And I believe Peter McCullough apparently is supposed to be coming to this town at some point to give a talk. But I've told her about the Robert Kennedy book, and there was a guy, Dr. Coleman, he had a phenomenal book, and I've told her about you guys' show and the research that has been, you and Erica have uncovered, and she can't get enough. But so, like, the people who were smart that didn't go along with the vaccine being shoved down their throat, they're the ones just groveling to try and get more information. The people who are already vaxxed, it's almost like, what's the point? What's the point?
What's the point? Wow. Well, it's tragically, horribly, ghoulishly, that's a fairly accurate summation for most of them. They're on their way out, one way or 10 others, depending upon the time, depending upon the rapidity of the increase in symptoms, so you can monitor it. There's just not much you can really do to turn these things around. There probably is not anything you can do long term. Short term,
well,
maybe they can make them feel a little better.
Yeah, I mean, if you're boosted that much, there's number 6 plus the bivalent flu vaccine. So you're at number 6 on a booster, and I don't know what to do anymore. I mean, and the thing is the nurses who, like, what do you do anymore? This you can't detox from it. You can't. You can only try and get yourself some better quality of life. But even at that, it's too late. If you're like there was a 20-something-year-old that came in, and she's having chest pains, and she's like, why is this happening to me? And she's asking, well, I opened up her chart. She had 3 vaccines given to her. So this is why it's happening. Now, do you think a physician went in there and explained that to her? No, not at all. Not at all. Her symptoms are treated. They do whatever they can. They give her some quality of life, and then they basically send her on her way home. And
right.
Hopefully you can continue on your young 20-something-year-old life from here. Or you may not be able to work. If you're an athlete, you're finished. You're not going to be an athlete after this.
No.
Mm-hmm. If you have AFib, you're not going back as an athlete.
Right.
This is not good news.
And
you give the same battery of tests depending upon the generalization of the symptomology, the same tests, the same, here, I hope this helps you feel better, and then you send them on their way. That's it.
Yeah.
And this is really awful. This is emotionally so difficult. I can't even imagine what it's like for you as a professional seeing these people take one look at their chart, and you could just about write their future.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and like Erica mentioned about the seizure, there was one seizure person in there. I didn't see too many seizures in the past 2 weeks, but I did see one, and she was a 23-year-old. And that was a witness seizure. But when they did the workup, they're thinking it may not have been a seizure after all, that it might have been a complex migraine that brought this on. So I'm thinking, she's getting the short end of the stick. And unbeknownst to her, she was also drug screened, which I think is very unfair. I think it's very unfair because this girl was very with it. She was a very nice person. She didn't seem like that kind of person that would be involved in that field, that kind of stuff. And they do the drug screens with it, by the way, and they don't tell you they're doing them. But they do,
well,
they do them.
It's a terrible thing that's going on, but it's, again, performing exactly as the designers and creators wanted it to do. That's what they designed.
Yeah.
This is, they're getting their rewards, their results. They're getting it as they expected. This is really sad. Very sad.
The sad part is there's no way to reverse it, and then that's the hard part. That's where you go in lightly. And, now I will tell you, honestly, everybody feels jaded. Even the nurses that are vaxxed at this point, they're all feeling jaded because it's just a revolving door. You're trying.
First question, somebody comes into ER, how many vaccines have you had? That should be the first question.
The first question is have you got the vaccine? And the second question to that is if you say no, you say, why didn't you get the vaccine?
Wow.
Gosh, never ending.
Anne, thank you very much for being here again. Thank you. That was really helpful.
Thank you.
Very informative.
Yeah.
All right. You be careful.
Yes.
Take care of yourself.
I'm feeling a lot better now. So, yeah.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Talk soon,
Anne.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, Anne. Good night.
Bye. Not getting any better out there at all. As we have been forecasting, it's going where they designed it to go, and there's just no turning it back.
No question, it is happening.
Think about the people online in the so-called alt-news world of health and concern about these injections. They keep calling them experimental vaccines that went amiss, and they keep pushing their supermarkets of supplements. Take this, take that. They're making a damn fortune on this absolute horrific genocide that's going on. This is incredible.
Oh, they sure are. You know, and I have not seen any one of them on these prominent platforms that really understands the pathology of what these people are suffering from
and
ways to address it.
We want to say one other thing about vitamin D3. It's absolutely important, but be careful about overdoing it. A lot of people think a little is good, a lot must be even better. Not necessarily true. Just from my perspective, I take 5,000 a day. That's, for me, that's plenty. Some people are taking a lot more than that. And vitamin D3, when you overload it, you can get real sick from it. So be careful about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a hormone, so you're overriding a lot of your body's own regulatory mechanisms for managing that. But a lot of times, you know, people take copious amounts of a supplement and they're not actually converting it to its active form. And that can happen if you're deficient in magnesium. You won't convert it. And the other danger is that it messes with iron metabolism, which is already a problem with this spike poisoning.
Yeah. Okay, we have to wrap it up tonight. We hope all of you learned something and listen to the program again. Certainly share it. And common sense, as much as you can assemble, is very important now. Don't run off and chase these fanciful science fiction explanations about nanobots and self-assembling this and that and taking over your brain and transhumanist stuff. No, this is a bioweapon. It's a terrible synthetic bioweapon. That's what it is.
Yeah, and it's a stealth bioweapon in many ways.
Exactly. All right. Take care. Talk soon. Thank you.
Okay, Jeff. My pleasure. Good night, everyone. Okay.
All right, we'll be right back with another hour. Yoichi Shimatsu coming up next. Stay tuned.